Welcome. This is Raina Nice as your host of a Seasonal Caring Podcast, where we share stories of hope for family caregivers, breaking through the busyness and loneliness of life to see God, even in this season. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Deb Ferris. Deb is a writer from Wisconsin. She's a former equity actor and singer who served on adjunct faculties at Tulane University, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She was an executive director of the nonprofit arts association, Dance Works, MKE, for 18 years and is an author of Conversations with Dad. She recently completed a new biography with Mark and Nan Erickson, Just Along for the Ride, and is currently working on her debut novel. Deb holds an MFA from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in dance and writes weekly on her blog to encourage hope in hard places. Deb Ferris is also a contributing author for Content Caregiver Magazine, so you can read her article there as well. Deb, thanks so much for joining me today.
It's fun to be here, Raina. Thanks for having me.
So share with us a little bit about your caregiving season.
Well, it is past. I'm not in the midst of it. A second marriage brought me home. I married my brother's best friend from high school, and I was living in Chapel Hill at the time, and he was in Milwaukee, and we didn't know which place to go, but we decided on Milwaukee, and it was perfect timing because my mom had been battling cancer for quite some time, and it was two times it would go away. We thought we were done with it, but it reappeared and had metastasized, and I was home. I was here to be with her through that time. So I had 3 years helping to care for her. And then after she died, leaving my dad behind after 61 years of marriage, it was really hard. He'd already had pulmonary lung disease, and we thought for sure we would lose him first.
Yeah.
So it was a big surprise to have mom go before him. And he was very just declining. And a good friend said, Debbie, prepare yourself. Usually when a couple's that close, within 6 months, he'll be gone. And so I did. I did, try and prepare myself for that. However, when my mom, her last week, she had asked if I would just sit with him at church on Sundays. And I had left their church to start at a new launch branch and been gone and came back and just sat with him on Sundays. And that was a really precious time to do that. And one night, it was actually my husband's birthday. We took my dad out for the birthday dinner at a little restaurant in the neighborhood that he was born in. And he started talking about the history of Milwaukee in that area and how he lived just down the block. And they would come to that restaurant, which was called Charlie's back then, and fish fries on Friday, and then talked about the horses that were kept not too far off to deliver milks and the carts and down the alleys, and how he loved horses and fell in love with horses. And he just went on and on. And I started taking notes on my napkin and went home and put together a post and posted it on Facebook. And that was the start of an incredible 5 years with my father. He loved telling stories and people loved hearing them. So when we outgrew the little Facebook posts, I started a blog. And through that, I discovered I loved to write. I came from theater and I sang, I danced. But when I got my nonprofit job, I said, yes, I can do this job. Please just don't make me public speak or write. I don't do those. I'm a dancer.
And here you are.
That's how God used me. As a speaker and a writer. And so God has quite a sense of humor. Never say you're not wanting to do something.
I can amen that one.
So those years together became wonderful. My husband says that I don't remember the hard things, and kind of like, I think, giving birth, you don't remember the labor, but they were incredible in so many ways, just in healing of the relationship between my father and me and getting to know my family history through his stories and getting to know my mom more through his stories. She was not a sentimentalist, never really looked back and didn't cling to things. I'm very sentimental about everything. I cling to everything. I'm the opposite that way. But my dad was more like me. And so I got this rich history of my family and my parents and the relationship, even though my mom had died, how it just grew. Her love, our love grew. And certainly my dad and I, we were always kind of head to head. He was ABC kind of person. And I would go from A to Z and back B. And anyway, Rena, it was just an incredible time. And through that, he was very weak. And the doctor said if he got pneumonia, it would all be over. Well, he got it 9 times.
And oh, wow.
We spent a lot of time in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time at his condo spending the night. And my husband was very wonderful in sharing that time. It was the most incredible time of my life. I can honestly say that. Rich beyond what I ever would have expected. And my parents' faith had grown deeper and deeper and deeper all through their lives. And my faith grew through that time with my father. What more could you ask for than to have someone open up the door to knowing God personally and sharing that with that person? The richness of the relationship, mine with God and mine with my father. And then because of that, with everybody that I knew. So that came out of my caregiving. And I would have never expected it. Never.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I thought was so precious with my caregiving season with my dad was just that time. As adults, when we're kids and we live in their home, we don't look at them as adults. We aren't an adult. We don't have that ability to see who they are and how other people see them. We watch how they navigate the world, but to me, it's just so different as an adult. And I missed that with my mom, mainly because I was not really an adult while she was still herself completely. But with my dad, it was such a precious time to just enjoy and really be able to laugh together and just experience life together again at a level that you don't when you just visit, I think. So I can agree with that. And for us, it was funny because when I was very, very young, we went to church together, but then we didn't. And so there was a season where I took him to church and it was really interesting just to hear him. I still hear his voice singing hymns when I didn't grow up and see that part of him. You know, it wasn't a part of his life whenever I was a part of his life as an adult. So it was a really precious memory too. So I agree 100%. It's amazing what that season of life can bring, the blessings and surprises. It sounds like one of the surprises for you in that caregiving was just how the depth of your relationship with the Lord, how it changed with that season. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Because that was when I started writing, you know, writing these stories about my dad. And he was an architect, and I had gone into it wanting to document the work that he had always wanted to write about. But pretty soon I was writing about our relationship, just the two of us and our escapades wherever we were, whether it was just even me running errands for him and, you know, having to answer his calls and get his this or that or whatever. It all became like a scene from something, you know, there was always an episode of something going on. So it was larger than life. I don't remember where I was going with that. I didn't finish my thought, but.
Well, I think it sounds like too, one piece of it was really surprising was just that writing became a love and that you were good at it and that you really were able to capture what was happening and share that.
Yeah. And when I'd write my own story, I thought, well, Dad's telling his, I'm going to tell mine. And it was on the same blog. The blog was called Sundays with Dad. That was our thing. We'd go to church together, come have lunch together, and then he'd tell another story that he wanted me to document. When I started sticking some of my stories in there, he was like, why's that in there? I thought this was about me. And so I said, okay, Dad, you're right. I'll start my own blog. I'll move out. I started a new blog, not according to plan, and did mine and his separately. And then he came back around, though, and said, people really like your blogs. I think we should move them back together again because we'll have more readers this way. And it's more people, different people that we wouldn't have on our own. And so then we worked together. It was funny. And then those blogs became the book, Conversations with Dad. I had to write a lot additional than the blogs, but that was really rewarding to be able to share the faith side of it in me through those stories. That's what was happening. And I think that that's what God had called me to do, to grow in my faith through all of that, through caring for my dad, honoring my parents, and letting go of a lot that I had to let go of. And then discovering that there was some new gift that he had given me that I didn't even know that I had. So it was just blessing after blessing through it. It wasn't all easy. I mean, it was losing my parents and the worst grief, I had lost my older brother. And that really was what took me to my chair before losing my mom. That was caring for her was kind of in the midst of that. But as a dancer, that grief took me to a chair with my Bible and a journal. And I started feeling that new movement inside of me, the movement of the spirit in my grief, and allowing the poetry of the Bible and the Psalms to be healing to me. And from that, just the rhythms, you know, and the words and the way they went together and the images that they created pulled together all of my artistic past. And that started coming out then, creating images through words. So you never know what God's up to in your life, honestly. Just sit in a chair and he'll tell you.
Well, and I love how caregiving is a catalyst, I think, to just bringing us to put ourselves in that place with him. And we know suffering brings us there, and caregiving, there is a level of suffering with that. But I love that the joy comes as well, because he brings joy. And so when we bring the suffering, we can exchange it for that. I love that.
I would just say, Mom would say, you know, Debbie, you have to learn to be thankful in every situation. And it's scriptural. And then the binding joy in the midst of suffering, that's what God does. Yeah. And that's incredible to experience. It is a mystery. And
it is.
You can't explain it, but only by his presence in our lives can he turn it upside down like that.
I think that's the part that is beautiful about being able to share our faith during this difficult time.
Yeah.
Is that so many times when caregivers are looking for support, they're being told how to take care of yourself and how to share the load and build the team, which I amen. But the truth is, the hope is only in the Lord, and the hope of there being joy and this not being the end, even as we walk them all the way home, only comes with the truth of who God is. And so I love to be able to hear that in others and to be able to just say it again, so that those that are right now in the suffering and aren't seeing the joy can learn to look for the joy, because we are able to go ahead and say, it's there. Look, you can find it.
Yeah, you can get so drained and so tired, you know, and you get worn out. And when you let go of that hope, it becomes, everything becomes dry and weighty and edgy, and then you know, let me just sit back into this. Lord, fill me. And we can't do it ourselves. I remember sitting in a hospital one day feeling that way. My mom was having to have her lungs drained, and it was very painful. And her little eyes were red-rimmed, and she was just so weary from the cancer. And I just felt like, it's awful to be with someone that you love suffering to such a degree. And she went in to have her procedure done, and I was sitting there just feeling like, I am not in a good place. I didn't get enough sleep. I'm feeling the cranky, just the Debbie that I don't like at all. And I sat and looked down, and I started to cry. And there were two women sitting across from me, and one said, "It's a beautiful thing." And I looked up, and makes me cry to remember, but what? I said, and she said, "Your relationship with your mom." And I said, "Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Thank you." And then the other one, they both had hats on, and they both had purses that they held in their laps. And honestly, I believed that they were angels, and they were trying to hold those angels and keep their halos or whatever it was to keep their presence, you know, very contained. And we spent that time that mom was in getting the fluid drained talking, and they poured into me like I would never have imagined. And I don't even remember what we talked about, but it was funny and it was rich and wonderful and healing. And I walked out of the hospital that day back to where I felt like I can do this. I can do this. And come on, Mom, we're going to be okay. Let's go shopping and get a latte. I don't know, but that spirit, she wasn't in the place where I'd put her in a wheelchair and take her to the coffee shop in the hospital, you know, and then to the gift shop and buy her some earrings. But I had to be in that place where I had been filled, and God does it in spite of us.
Well, and that was the question that came next, was where did God show up for you? So I love that story. And I love just even that thought of, were they real or were they just angels? You don't know, because the scripture tells us that we'll entertain them without even realizing it. But I love how he met you right in that place. And I'm sure that by you being filled again, that when she came out of that such difficult procedure, that you helped to fill her again too.
Yeah, it's a privilege to be a part of God's work and other people's lives, and to be able to use us at our worst, you know, at our very worst.
It is.
And he certainly uses me at my very worst. Never really at my best. I'm always having to be very vulnerable and weak and exposed kind of feeling for him to work properly.
Yeah. When we're weak, he's strong. It's when we think we're strong, that's when we're usually not really sharing about him, right? So we're just kind of pushing through on our own will. So, well, tell us one thing that you feel like you do daily that would help you love well, live content, or care without regret.
When I took my dad to visit my sister in Tucson, we were at the bookstore and I found Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. And I had, you know, I'd never read it. I thought, okay, I need a little purpose driven life. And so I started reading that. And my dad had always wanted us to follow a daily Bible reading commitment. And he instructed that we read from one book of the Bible in four different places and read from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the Gospel, and the New Testament. And I'm like, that's a lot of reading, Dad. But he said, no, just read whatever, however much you want. Move on quickly, even if it's just one verse, but you're going to be amazed at how the Holy Spirit ties it all together. And I was, and he did. And I started that practice every morning, getting in my chair. I couldn't wait to get there. And it grew longer and longer. You know, first it was maybe 15 minutes, then all of a sudden it was an hour, and it was never enough. It just flew by, and that changed my life. It changed my life. From that practice and that discipline, my job at DanceWorks came. And who would have thought, as a dancer at 45 at that time, getting an MFA in dance, why was I doing that? Just to connect to the community after coming back from my marriage. But I didn't know what I would do with it. But God knew. He was moving me into a position leading this organization with dance. And I had to follow along with that. So that practice continues to this day. And now, since I stepped away from my job, I could spend all day in just reading and praying and writing, journaling, and I have to pull myself away from it. So it's that time with God where he speaks to you through his word, interprets it to you, for you, so you can know more and more deeply who Jesus is. And that's what it's about, the Holy Spirit interpreting so we can know who Jesus is. And that's what happens. And that's what came out of my caregiving, and it changed my life. Kids used to say that in our dance program. You should try it. It'll change your life. I feel that way about my time with the Lord in the morning. And then he interprets all day long through people. You hear him speak through nature powerfully for me because of the images, certainly. But everything becomes different when it's in connection with the flow of the Spirit through you and that surrender of self. We're pretty boring. You know, I'm pretty boring on my own without him. It's, but put God in somebody and you see a transformed life. Oh, I have another story, but maybe I shouldn't share it. What about transforming, you know, letting your Romans 12 to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? And Dad had called me on the day that he died into his bedroom that morning. Demi, come here. I have one more story for you. And he told me about how he had memorized the whole chapter of Romans 12 and told me the story of it. And I, get your pencil, write it down. And I wrote it down, and it was a powerful story of memorizing that as he was riding with a friend who was in high school, older than him, who was a truck driver, and said Dad could come along as they drove south. And he was in the back reading Romans, and the guy asked, what are you reading back there? And Dad said, oh, well, I'm memorizing it. You want me to tell you what it is? And so he read the chapter, and when it got to the part where, you know, do whatever you do for the glory of God, do it to the best of your ability. And he put the word in instead of teaching, prophesying, truck driving. He stuck that in. The guy said, wait a minute, it doesn't say that. And Dad, well, that's what it means. And so I used Romans 12 for his service and had each one of his grandkids read one of the verses. And it was the best part of his service. So anyway.
I love how those moments, again, you didn't know when he was sharing that that was his last story, that it would be his last story. But because you were there and able to document it, then that gave you the inspiration then to be able to share about his faith and how important that was to him at his celebration of life. So I love that. Well, our time is gone. So do you have one more nugget of wisdom that you'd like to really just share with the caregivers that are listening, something that they can just really take away and put in their pocket?
Well, I think you said it at the beginning, Raina, that it's so important that we take care of ourselves as we're caring for someone else. And I know that it's really easy not to take care of ourselves. And sometimes it's a season where you just have to keep giving more than you think you can, but God is faithful there. He will replenish in due time. And to not lose hope. Mom would say, everybody deserves hope, even if it's just for a day. When a hospice nurse had kind of stolen her hope and she didn't understand, you know, what was going on with her, but she felt like, she's talking to me like I'm dying and I'm living still. So I think that that would be the nugget, as, you know, you're doing the greatest honor by caring for your parents or whoever it is, and not to lose hope. Allow God to meet you in those moments, unexpected moments, eyes open, ears open, seeing and listening beyond your ability, but the Spirit will take those veils away and allow you to hear the words that are gentle, the whispers that assure you that you're not alone. You can't lose hope. Even when you feel you have nothing left to give, God will meet you there. I don't know if that's a nugget, but
it's true.
We lose hope. We get tired. No.
Our weariness can lead to that. And that's where I think it's so important to just remember to cling on to the hope, even if you're weary. There's still hope in him. And sometimes I found that I'm trying to define hope in a specific way. And that's why I'm losing it, because I'm trying to attach my own thoughts to it. You know, God's going to do this, and that's what I'm hoping for, you know, instead of just the hope that is in him and in his love and mercy that we experience every day. That's the hope that we have to hold on to.
Well, that's a good nugget to share there.
Well, thanks so much for just sharing with us, Deb. Will you let our audience know how they can find your blog and be able to just stay connected with you?
I'm easy on debferris.com. That will take you to my website, and that's where my blog lives. And I would just love to know what's going on with you. And if I can be a support in any way, please connect. Give me your email, or just through the contact page, reach out. Let me know what's going on. I'll email back. You can call me. I'd be happy to share, you know, whatever I can to help you through this journey, because you're a blessing. You're a great blessing, and you're doing God's work through what you're doing, even though you may not be aware of it as it's happening. So anyway, debferris.com, pretty simple.
I love that. Thanks again, Deb, for sharing with us today.
Thanks, Raina.
Well, listeners, thank you for joining us for Stories of Hope from Deb. This episode has been brought to you by Content Caregiver Magazine, an electronic quarterly magazine available today to help you find God in the midst of your caregiving season. Take a moment, take that deep breath, find Him, and then jump right back into your caregiving life refreshed. It's available at contentmagazine.online. A Season of Caring podcast has been created to share stories of hope for living content, loving well, and caring with no regrets. If you have legal, financial, or medical questions, be sure to consult your local professionals. And take heart in your season of caring.